Well, good morning and welcome to Healing School at High Point Church. We're so glad that you are joining us this morning for another session of healing. You know, we believe God's heart is healing. We believe here at High Point Church, and we're unapologetic about it, that healing is a big part of God's heart. It's what He loves to do. It's part of His nature, even. We're going to see this today, that it's one of His names, one of His covenant redemptive names. So I really want to encourage you today that when you're listening, you need to line your heart up with God's heart and say, healing is mine, healing is for me, and come into this with ears to hear. So we welcome you this morning, all of our High Point Church family that's joining us, and also for all of the visitors out there, you might be watching this, and this would be a God divine appointment. I believe not necessarily in coincidences, but in God-cidences. So if you're watching this morning, praise God, I believe it might be one of those God-cidences in your life that He is setting you up for a miracle, for a sign, and for a wonder. Praise God. Now, like I said, this is Healing School at High Point Church, and this is not a Bible college. It's not a university. This is not some seminary out there. This is basically something that we set up here at High Point Church some years ago to establish God's heart of healing in people, to train them and teach them how to receive healing for themselves, but also how to minister healing to others. Because how many of you know we're called not to just teach healing, we're also called to preach healing to other people and help people to receive by the laying on of hands. So if you need to know that today, that God wants to use you just like He would use me this morning. God is no respecter of persons. So listen from a learned example of being able to learn how to minister to other people as well and not just to receive for yourself. Now, I want to encourage you to visit our website at High Point Church, because we have all of these healing schools that we've been teaching over the past 4.5 years. All of the audio versions of that are on there. So as you're going to learn today, hearing is a big part of healing. So you need to go and listen to as much as possible. I'll give you an example. One thing that I've taught on during these various healing schools we've had over the years is I called it Healing's Top 25. Praise God. And it was a great series that we did, a 25-part series on all of the specific individual cases of healing that you see in the four Gospels. Now, when you hear that there was only 25 of them, you might say, well, I'm not really sure about that. It seems like there's more than that, Pastor. Well, when you compare and harmonize the Gospels together, you come to find out there was only about 25 individual cases where maybe the person's name was mentioned, what their specific infirmity was, and how they received from Jesus. So those are really good ones for you to go back and listen to. You can search on the website and find that, because they teach us through the ministry of Jesus how people received from Him. And what you come to find out when you study all these various accounts is the people that came and received from them and were written in the book, they had some radical faith. There were some things they did that the common people were not doing. I'll give you an example. We have the story of the Syrophoenician woman. This was that Gentile that came after Jesus, and she was crying out to Him to deliver her daughter from the demon that she had. You know, and we see in that example that she just kept pursuing Him and cried out all the more, even when the disciples tried to send her away. And what's awesome is Jesus turned around after basically paying her an insult, which He didn't do intentionally, but basically saying, it's not right to give what's holy to the dogs. She ends up saying some profound words that shows her faith and perseverance, and she got her miracle for her daughter on that day. And what that taught us is that we're all the time saying, well, I'm just waiting on God's timing to heal me. And if it's God's will, He'll do it in His timing. Well, that woman made it God's timing. It wasn't God's time to heal the Gentiles and minister to them, but that woman, through her faith, persevered through everything and ended up receiving from the Lord. So we learn from various examples like that, that we too can receive in the same way. And some of the things maybe we've come to believe in our heart or have been taught in other churches isn't necessarily correct. We need to become established in what God's Word says and what the Word of God says and receive from Him that way. So last week, I began teaching Healing School on these online sessions, and we went over to Proverbs chapter 4, and so I want us to go back over there this week, and we're going to review what we talked about last week, And this will tee us up for what I believe God has for us today. This is actually the first thing that I ever taught at this healing school. And it shows us what's so important to understand about God's Word and how healing is manifested in our lives. So go back over to Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 20. Solomon, of course, was writing this, one of the wisest men that ever lived on the earth. And notice what he said. He said, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." And then he goes on to say, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Now, this passage of Scripture is so key and critical to us because what it teaches us is how we can receive healing 100% of the time. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it, but how healing and health is acquired in our life consistently from the Lord. And one of the things, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, that's important about this is it shows us how we can live in the blessing versus depending on miracles. You know, most charismatic Christians that even believe in healing to start with, most of them out there don't believe, but the people that actually do believe in healing live their life more like, well, I'm just going to expect the negative things to happen to me. I might get the seasonal flu, or I might have these situations, and then I'll believe God, I'll ask God to heal me after that. I don't believe that's God's best. I believe God's best is for us to live in the blessing to a state to where we don't even have sickness or disease ever even cling to us. Like with this virus we're dealing with right now, to where we believe that we're not even subject to this coronavirus even being able to inhabit our body. If it touches us, it dies on contact because the blessing of God is flowing through every pore and cell of our body. Praise God. Because we're walking in the blessing. And that's what's important for us to have today. This mentality that we don't have to depend on miracles. We don't have to wait for the healing evangelist to come to town to wave a magic wand over us and bring healing to us. I can do something intentionally and deliberately to receive healing 100% of the time. Praise God and amen. So let's review what we talked about last week. He starts off by saying, "My son," verse 20. Now we saw that obviously Solomon, when he wrote this, he was writing to his physical sons. He was giving them instructions. But we know from the Bible that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There is not one passage of Scripture on here that the person was not moved by the Holy Spirit to pen. So it's definitely inspired by the Holy Ghost for us. So as we read this, don't read it like Solomon is writing to his son. Look at it like your heavenly Father is talking to you, His son and daughter. And what's awesome and important to understand, and I made this point last week, is that just like we give our children instructions, you know, we tell them, make sure you're brushing your teeth, make sure you take your medicine and your vitamins and all these different things. Most of the time what happens? Our kids, because they don't esteem and value the instructions we're giving them, and they don't understand that we've been there and done that, and we know more than they do things their own way. And of course, that's frustrating as parents when your kids do that, but how can you imagine how God feels? That when He's told His children something like He tells us in this passage of Scripture, and yet we just say, well, I don't believe it necessarily works that way. We might not say that, but in our heart of hearts, that's what we think. So we do things our own way, and as the Scriptures teach us in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right to man, but its way leads to death. Well, it's like children. They do things their way, and they're going to have the consequences as a result of that. So we need to give attention and take heed to what the Lord is saying in this passage of Scripture because it's instructions from our Heavenly Father of what He's saying to us. Amen. So He says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart." Why? Because they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, what's he saying? When he says they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh, what is he referring to? What's the they there? His words and his sayings that he just referred to in the prior verse. So when you see this, you need to understand his words and his sayings are, first of all, life to those who find them. Amen. What does that mean? It means that, number one, we're going to have to search for them, right? He said they're life to those who find them. That means they're not lying on the surface somewhere. We're going to actually have to pursue these things. We're going to have to dig for them so that we can acquire the life that's in them. And what that teaches me is the nominal Christian that might audit the Word of God, they're listening to what's being said, and they might go to church on Sunday morning and they're listening to the message. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're actually experiencing the life that comes through the Word. You've got to actually seek after it. There's got to be a heart inclination that I am pursuing it. Praise God. In fact, go over to Proverbs chapter 2 and let me show you something that Solomon said earlier to his children, and God is saying to his children today. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Again, he starts with, "My son, if you receive my words," notice this, "and treasure my commands within you," verse 2, "so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding," next verse, "yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding." You know what that describes right there? That describes a baby. Do you know babies don't have a hard time, if they got parents that care about them at all, they don't have a hard time doing something to get their belly filled. And what do? In the middle of the night, when you're sleeping and you're dreaming, what happens? Wham! I mean, those cries come out and they cry out for it. They lift their voice up to get their belly filled. What are they doing? They're showing their heart's desire to become filled at that time. So we're seeing a condition of heart here. So then in the next verse, he says, "If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures." So again, this is talking about an actual desire to find something. You know, silver and hidden treasures, they're not things that are just lying on the surface. You got to dig for them. You got to search for them. You got to seek after them, praise God. It'd be like some of you out there that if you lost some silver in your house, what are you going to do if you lost it? You are going to, with all your heart, turn that house upside down to try to find that valuable thing that's out there. So it's a condition of heart that we're seeing described here. Look at the next verse. When you have searched for this, cried out for this, when you with all your heart have sought after it, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So we see from this passage of Scripture that it's not just the nod to God crowd, the nominal Christians out there, that are going to be filled with the fear of the Lord, this understanding and knowledge of the things of God. It's going to be somebody who's pursuing it, praise God, with all their heart. Now, I'll tell you, the Lord gave me grace to do this. I give Him the credit. I don't necessarily think it was anything I did. But when I got saved, I'll tell you, I'd wasted the first 25 years of my life. And when I got born again, my eyes were open. The grass was greener, the sky was bluer, and I became hungry for the things of God to the point I'm waking up early, first thing in the morning, reading the Word of God. And then I started acquiring all these different tape series and CD series from different preachers, and I was devouring the Word of God. So for 4 years, the first 4 years I was a born-again Christian, I am seeking after the Word of God to where if I wasn't working, if I wasn't eating, or if I wasn't sleeping, I was pretty much in the Word of God. Now, that shows me what the Lord was doing in me. Was He was redeeming the time and preparing me for what He had called me to do. But I'm telling you, when your heart gets like that, you are not going to have any problem finding the truth. But that's the type of person that really finds these things. That's the person that gets to the place where they experience the quality of life that God has for us. So back in Proverbs chapter 4, when he says they are life to those who find them, what are we talking about here? You experience the God kind of life. The life that's described to us in the New Testament as newness of life, eternal life, resurrection life, and yes, abundant life. If you want to experience the quality of life that God says is for each and every one of us to have, you're going to have to seek after it. Amen. And the Scriptures teach us that over in Jeremiah chapter 29. We're familiar with that Scripture of where He says in the verses prior to the one we're going to look at, He says there that I know the thoughts I have towards you. They're plans to prosper you and to do good to you and to give you peace and a hope and a future. Amen. And what that means is that God desires this for all of us. He's got a better quality of life for you. But notice what He goes on to say. And you will seek Me and find me. When? When you search for me with all your heart. And I'm telling you, searching him with all for him with all of your heart is the key component here. Many people think they're doing this, but aren't. Because when you seek God with all your heart, you will be radical to the people around you. People will think you're out of balance. People will think that you're spending too much time in your study, that you're spending too much time reading and meditating the Word, and they won't understand what's happening because they're not used to doing that themselves. But this is the people that get the results, praise God. This is the people that has God's Word affect their body. I would say it this way, infect their body. Praise God. And that's what he goes on to say next. And his words and his sayings are health to what? All their flesh. Praise God. All their flesh describes, all of our flesh describes anything physical. It can be anything external, any member of your body. It can be any internal organ. It can be your brain. It can be your eyeball. It can be any part of you. This scripture promises me and you that his words and his sayings are health to all their flesh. Praise God. And notice he didn't say healing. He says health. Because there's a big difference between walking in divine health and then depending on having to be healed all the time. I want to live in this place to where health is what I'm experiencing and what I'm walking in. And God said, I can have it. And do you know what this verse does? It proves to us that it's always God's will to heal. You know why? Because he said his words and his sayings are health to all our flesh. And if I were to say to you today that, well, not all the Word of God's for you. Ephesians is for you and Colossians is for you, but you need to take Matthew out of the Bible. That's not for you. Revelation isn't applicable anymore. Well, hopefully you would turn the dial right now and you wouldn't be listening anymore to the heretic preacher, because we know and are convinced and persuaded that all of God's words, all of God's sayings are for everybody all the time, right? Well, if his words and his sayings are health to all our flesh, then guess what? Healing and health must be for us too. It is God's will for you to live healthy, well lives. Can I get an amen? Praise God. So, notice that it was his words and his sayings that produced this life and this health. Now, it's interesting that he uses two different terms there. Words and sayings. And I looked the Hebrew words up. And the word that's used for words back in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, when he says, give attention to my words, is the common word that was used to describe what we would call the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. It's the Hebrew word dabar, which describes what is written. Okay? But then his sayings describe not just the word, but his words. Amen. So we might describe this as the rhema of God, the specific individual words, either that God speaks to us personally, or a word we receive through a prophet, or the words that you might be receiving today through me as I'm teaching to you. These are the sayings of God. So both his written word and these rhema words that we're getting, both of these are what produce life and produce health in our everyday lives. And we're going to go on today to find out how. So last week, we looked at 3 John 2. And we saw from 3 John 2 that God's will and desire as His beloved is for us to prosper in every area of our life. And notice this, for us to be in health just as our soul prospers, praise God. So what that teaches me is that God's heart, God's desire is for me to prosper in every single area of my life, period, point blank. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe that. They don't believe it's God's will for us to be prosperous financially, for us to have it well in our life in whatever area it is. But I believe that, and we've got plenty of scriptures that teach us that God takes delight. He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. But not only that, He wants all of His children in health. His will is for you to be healthy today, for you to be experiencing the quality of life that you would desire for your children, praise God. You know, if the things that we accuse God of were, we were guilty of it in our life with our children. Like, for example, we say, well, God made me sick to teach me something. If I were to go make my son sick to go teach him something, and you found out about it, Hopefully you'd never attend this church and you'd turn this preacher off, because we would call that abuse. But so many of God's children are claiming that God's abusing them. And if He, loving us more than we love our own children, desires good for us, why would He ever make us sick to try to teach us anything? Praise God. Amen. This is my soapbox, and I believe it's on God's side, praise God, that God wants us healthy. He wants us well. He's for us. He's not against us, praise God. So we see here in verse 22, this is what we camped on last week, that His words, His sayings, are life to those who find them, and they are health to all His children's flesh. Praise God. So my question is, if God tells us that His word is health or medicine to all our flesh, that's what the Hebrew word means, do you reckon God gives us a prescribed formula or directions on how to take His medicine? Amen. Just like you can read on that medicine bottle, praise God, directions for use, and it tells you exactly how to take that medicine, how often to take it, and what to take it with, praise God. I believe God tells us how to take His medicine. And guess where it's at? It's in these very verses we're looking at today, praise God. I had something that I wanted to read to you. I wrote this a few years ago, and it's powerful, and I love it. Notice this. It says, "Our great physician has given us a prescription being an instruction written that authorizes us to be provided a medicine or treatment." That's what a prescription is. Well, that would most certainly be God's word, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. It contains the prescription that authorizes you and I to obtain His medicine. So we already have the prescription. It's waiting at the pharmacy with our name on it. Our health insurance, the stripes of Jesus, have already paid for the prescription, praise God. No, in God's kingdom, there is no copay. There is no deductible that needs to be met. It's already been paid for 100% by our great physician. Glory to God. That's what's ours. That's what our inheritance is and what we're supposed to be fighting for, praise God, earnestly contending for this faith. But this prescription, after it's picked up, you got to know how to take it. What is the right way to hear God's Word, to listen to God's Word, to read God's Word, so that it can take effect in your body just like this? Well, I believe in verse 20, we have our first set of instructions. So that's what I want to teach you on this week. Let's go back to verse 20 and notice what Solomon, inspired by the Holy Ghost, said to us. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Now the first thing he says is, give attention to my words. And basically what that means is, give undivided attention to my words. Pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Now, I'll tell you, this is an epidemic. I mean, I believe it's a bad problem in the majority of people, just in their relations with other people and how they have conversations. I'll give you an example. When I meet somebody and I say, "Hi, I'm Trey Dickerson," and then they tell me their name, how many of us out there have a hard time remembering what the person's name was, even after we asked them and they told it to us? I mean, it happens to us all the time. Now, I thank God He's given me grace not for that to happen as a pastor of a church. You can't forget people's names. That wouldn't be well for you. But I'll tell you, I asked the Lord one time early in my walk, because I had a hard time remembering people's names. And I asked the Lord, I said, "God, why do I have such a hard time remembering people's names when I meet them?" And you know what He told me? He said, "Because you don't care what their name is." Amen. You know what that means? I didn't really esteem it. I wasn't attentive to what they were telling me. I didn't allow my heart to capture what they had told me at that time. Why is that? Because most of the time we're more concerned about ourselves when we meet somebody, and we're loading our guns behind our back of what we're going to say next instead of really listening to what the person's saying. So it's something that we need to learn, that we've got to actually pay attention, amen, to what we're hearing in those situations. And it's like that with God's Word. Do you know that many of us out there, we are so blessed with so much good teaching, and it's just readily accessible to us. You can go on YouTube anytime you want. You can Google anytime you want and find some of the best teaching and preaching out there in the world. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get it in your heart. You've got to give attention to the words you hear. And I'm not just talking about storing it in your head. You've got to store it down in your heart. You've got to actually care about what you're hearing. You know, for example, at our church, I believe we are blessed at High Point Church with some of the best teaching that you'll find. And I'm not talking about because of the pastor of this church. We've got many different capable teachers that are just good, anointed, solid teachers. And in my opinion, you could rival us with any other church and you're not going to hear much better word out there. And I know a lot of people will hear that and they'll be like, well, who do you think you are? And that's arrogant. No, it's factual. Hallelujah. We're walking in reality. That's the way it is. But did you know there is a problem that can sometimes happen even with getting good, solid teaching? And you know what it is? That we become so familiar with it that we don't esteem it and we don't value it the way that we should or we did in the past. We've got to learn in situations like this that we've got to give all the attention that we have into each message that we hear. Because when you give attention to something, it implies that you value and you honor what you're hearing. Amen. Like it'd be like if we had somebody new come in that is apparently a prophet and they're known to speak God's word to people. I'm telling you, people's antennas are a little bit more erect during that time to be able to hear what those people are saying. Because why? It's something new. It's something fresh. It's something that they value. It's something that they honor. And I'm telling you, we've got to be this way with God's Word. When we sit down to read it ourselves, or whether we listen to some good preaching, we've got to give more attention to those things and incline ourselves to them. Praise God. Go over to Mark chapter 6, and I want to show you something. Even the Lord Jesus Christ Himself didn't have people valuing everything He was saying. And you know, there was nobody more anointed than Him. Amen. He had the Spirit without measure. And in Mark chapter 6, we see something really powerful. Praise God. And I think this is important. Mark chapter 6, in verse 1. It says, "Then He went out from there and came to His own country, and His disciples followed Him." So notice He went into His own hometown. "And when the Sabbath had come, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing Him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to Him, that such mighty works are performed by His hands?'" So I want you to notice, they were recognizing that He had wisdom coming out of His mouth. They were astonished by it, and they even recognized the miracles that He had. Notice that. And then verse 3, it says, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at Him. Why were they offended? Not because of the miracles, not because of the things He said, but because they began to relate to Him according to the flesh, and they saw Him as a natural, common person. "But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house.'" And you know, I believe this is a word of encouragement for some people out there. I believe some of you are watching this and you're trying to witness to your family members. You're trying to evangelize your own household. And I'm going to tell you, in most cases, that doesn't work out too well. It's going to have to come from somebody else. And I'll tell you why. Because why? They're too familiar with you. They see you as the carpenter's son. They know your faults. They're acquainted with the flaws you have. Therefore, they're not going to esteem what you're saying. And you know, I think sometimes we make this is a problem in our own lives, is that sometimes if you become too acquainted with a preacher, like for example, if somebody you see as an anointed man or woman of God, you come to know them on a personal level, you get to know them so well that it causes you in your heart to despise them or be offended by them, to where you're like, there is no way God's talking through that donkey, praise God, because I know that donkey's got fleas, that donkey ain't had a bath in a while, that donkey's got a lot of problems, praise God. But I'm going to tell you something, God doesn't use us because we're qualified. There is a big difference between somebody being anointed to minister the Word of God versus somebody who is anointed to live the Word of God. I have to walk these things out just like you do. But there's a big difference between when I stand up and open my mouth to speak the Word of God, there is a grace that's there, praise God. So we got to make the distinction between those things in our life, unlike they did here. And verse 5, notice this now. "Because they despised Him, because they were offended with Him, now He could do no mighty work there, except that He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Now this is powerful right here, because what he says is he could not do any mighty works. It didn't say he would not do them. Now this is powerful, because what this does is it upsets a lot of our theology that thinks, well, Jesus could have done whatever he wanted to. He healed whoever he wanted to. No. According to this scripture, he desired to heal them. He was laying hands and ministering, but he was unable to do it. Why? Because they saw him through being overly familiar with him. They were offended because they didn't esteem the anointing that was on his life. Amen. So what did he do? He went about in a circuit teaching them. Meaning he went around village to village teaching the people then. Why? Because teaching is the cure to the unbelief. Praise God. That's what will eradicate it in folks' lives. Amen. So praise God. We need to not become overly familiar. We need to give attention to his words. But notice back in Proverbs 4:20, after he says give attention to his words, he says, and incline your ear to my sayings. What does this mean to incline your ear? Well, it'd be like this. If somebody was talking to me and I said, huh? And I'm turning my ear towards them and I'm cupping my hand there so that I can hear them. There's been times like if I'm in a restaurant that's really loud and somebody's talking to me across the table, what I'll do is I'll cup my ear. I learned to do that and incline myself, and it helps me to catch what they're saying and understand it a little better. I'll tell you a great example of something on this planet that knows how to incline its ears to the sayings of its master is our dogs, praise God. I got a little precious dog that's named Bluesy, and she's half blue healer and part perfect, amen. I don't even know what else she is, but praise God, in this dog, she has a keen ability to adjust her ears when I'm talking to her. Like, for example, if I'm walking her around the neighborhood, if I'm talking and she's listening, she can actually turn those ears backwards, kind of like a satellite dish, and incline it towards me to make sure she's listening to what I'm saying. It's amazing. But I'm telling you, that's a great example of what you and I need to do. We have got to learn to put ourselves in position to hear what? His rhema, his sayings, praise God. So in these situations, what this dictates to us is that we can have distractions present. And I'm telling you, we live in the information age. We have got more opportunities in the world we live in to be distracted. We got social media, we got the internet, we've got all of these various things that are vying for our attention. Like our kids are always on those phones looking, and they've got so much that's just pulling on them. We've got to learn to put ourselves in position to hear. We've got to learn when to turn that phone off, turn the TV off, so that we can be more in a position to hear what God is saying to us during those times. That's inclining our ear to His sayings. So then, go over to Exodus chapter 15. And I want to show you a great example in the Word of God where we have illustrated to us of how important it is that we give attention to His words and we incline our ears to His sayings. Because what we're talking about today is hearing, having the ability to hear what God's Word is saying to us, because that's what's going to be key for us receiving the medicine into our belly, praise God. Exodus chapter 15, a very familiar verse, verse 26, we have the Lord's words to the children of Israel. And I want you to notice something that's said here. This is powerful. It says in verse 26, and he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. Why? For I am the Lord who heals you. Now you know that is one of those covenant redemptive names that we talk about all the time in the church. It's Jehovah Rapha. That's where we get that name of God. And what I believe God is saying to us here, as when He came on the scene originally and revealed Himself to Moses, and He spoke to him from the burning bush and He says, I am that I am, and didn't say anything else, I believe this is one of those I ams. I am your healer. Now, I'll tell you, that is so important for us to understand right there, because this takes out of the equation any question of whether God wants me healed or not. Because it's not just what he does, it's who he is. I am a healer. And not only that, but he says, I am the Lord who heals you. So a good practice would be for you and I to live our life every day, whether you're sick or not. Because this is one of the ways you take your medicine so you don't get sick. And you declare before the Lord every day, say, Lord, you are the Lord who heals me. You are my healer. I thank you, Jesus, that you heal me. I thank you it's your nature to heal. You desire for me to be well. I thank you it is who you are and it's what you provide in my life. And you spend enough time praising God and thanking Him for being your healer and being your Jehovah Rapha, and guess what's going to happen? Sickness is going to have a hard time clinging to you. Why? Because you are calling on the name of the Lord. You're calling on Jehovah Rapha, and you will be healed. You will be saved, praise God. That's what we have available to us. We need to know He is the Lord who heals us. But I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture what is tied together with this covenant redemptive name of the Lord. Look at the beginning of the verse again. If you diligently heed, you know what that means? To hear. To heed something is to listen to it. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, and notice this, give ear to His commandments. So what are we seeing here? His words and His sayings are being described here. The voice of the Lord God being His sayings and His commandments and everything that He had wrote, all of His statutes, all of those things are His words. Praise God. So we're seeing the same thing echoed here that we saw in Proverbs chapter 4. But I want you to notice something at the beginning of verse 26. He said, if you diligently heed. Now that's a little bit different than just hearing something. And in fact, the Hebrew here is a little different. It's something that they did something that was a little different to put emphasis on words that we might not do in our English language. What they would do if they were trying to emphasize, like in this case, listening or heeding something, they would put the Hebrew word for heed twice. And that's what they did here. What they did was the word is sama, spelled S-A-M-A, and they put the word sama twice. If you sama, sama, or if you heed, heed, if you hear, hear, if you listen, listen. Praise God. Let me show you another example. Hold your place here and go over to Isaiah 26. In Isaiah 26, we have another really great example where this Hebrew practice was used. And it's in a familiar scripture. This is my wife's favorite scripture. Praise God. Isaiah 26 in verse 3. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Now, you know what that means? That when I learn to be spiritually minded, to set my mind on things above, and I am consciously thinking on those spiritual things, it's going to yield peace in my life. Absolutely. But notice he calls it here, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. That is the same Hebrew custom. It's shalom, shalom. It's shalom twice. Amen. So the way they translate it is perfect peace. So it's not just shalom peace, it's peace, peace. It is perfect peace. It is great peace. It's total peace, praise God. So over in Exodus chapter 15, when he says, if you diligently heed, when he says, if you heed, heed, if you listen, listen, if you hear, hear, he's not just talking about listening, but really listening. Amen. There's a big difference between somebody that just listens to something with their outer ears and somebody who listens in their heart. Amen. Amen. Now, let me take you over to another passage. Go to Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to show you where the Lord began to teach me some of these things. This is a verse probably, when I was preparing for this and I wrote it down in my notes, I'm like, I probably refer to this verse more than any other verse in my messages. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Powerful verse. But notice what it says. It says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I used to ask the Lord the question, why did you say it this way? Because, you know, this verse would have made just as much sense if He would have taken hearing out of it one time. If He would have just said, so then faith comes by hearing by the Word of God, it would have made just as much sense according to the way we understand it. But there is a principle here, and it took me years to find out what He was saying. When he says, so then faith comes by hearing, period, and hearing by the Word of God, it teaches us a couple of things. Number one, it teaches us faith just comes by hearing, period. Whatever you listen to on the inside in your heart, whatever you spend the most of your time taking heed to, that's what you're going to have faith in. That's why during a situation we're in right now with this health crisis, you do not want to be spending the majority of your time watching Fox News or CNN or researching on the internet about the coronavirus and what it's doing. Because why? All you're going to do, you might be gaining some facts and some knowledge that might help in some situations, but the negative byproduct of that is you're actually going to gain faith in that thing if you're not careful about it. See, what we need to be spending the majority of our time doing is hearing the Word of God so that we have faith in it. But what the Lord showed me here is this. When He says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, according to this principle we saw over in Exodus chapter 15, it is hearing twice. See, what's going to give us faith, where faith is going to come from, is not just hearing things one way. You got to hear things two ways, twice. You got to hear it through these ear gates, but you got to hear it in your heart. Amen. And that's where the faith comes, listening in here and letting your heart capture what God's Word says. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 13. Because I want to show you what Jesus taught us concerning this. You know, if you study the life and ministry of Jesus, you'll find out He usually had something that He said in all of His messages. You know, like I just said, I quote this verse in almost every message, praise God. You know what Jesus said every time He brought a sermon, a message to His congregants? He always said, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. You know why? Because it shows us not everybody that comes to listen is really hearing. And the people that are really hearing are the ones that's going to have the Word impact their life and it's going to change them, praise God. So after He says in verse 9 here, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, notice what happens next. Verse 10 says, and the disciples came and said to Him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. We'll get back to that in a moment. But notice verse 12. This is powerful. He says, for whoever has, him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now this scripture has confused many people. And people throw their hands up in the air and say, well, we're just not going to be able to understand what he meant. But there are the laws of meditation of how to study the Scriptures to be able to unlock truths like this. What was the subject matter in this situation? What did Jesus just get done saying in verse 9? He who has ears to hear, let them hear. So when he turns around a couple of verses later and says, for whoever has, what do you suppose he's talking about them having? Ears to hear. So when he says, whoever has ears to hear, to him more will be given. More what? More of the ability to hear. Hallelujah. And then he says, and he will have an abundance. An abundance of what? Of the ability to hear. The people that get more revelation, that get more understanding, and get more wisdom are the people who have valued the word they've already heard. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. And then it says, but whoever does not have what? Ears to hear. Even what he has will be taken away from him. And this is the warning, this is the danger, that if you don't have ears to hear, if you're not listening attentively and you're not hearing like we're talking about here, then guess what? You're in danger of your heart becoming hardened, as he goes on to describe after this, that your heart can become dull, that it can become calloused, and you're not able to receive anything else. You know, a friend of mine mentioned to me not too long ago about why certain elderly people are not continuing to learn in their life. And he was talking about this as the fact that they have not continued to develop that learning habit. They stopped learning at some point in their life. Therefore, they have an inability to continue to learn things at an older age. That doesn't have to be us. We can intentionally and deliberately always be learning, always be listening, so our heart stays sensitive and we can retain the information that we're hearing, praise God. So praise God, it is the person that has got ears to hear that has the ability to receive this revelation that will provide health to all their flesh. But I want you to notice the disciples had asked Him here, and they said, why do you speak to them in parables? Why are you teaching these people like that? And He turns around and says to them, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And don't mistake this to be addressing you and me today. Because yes, He's talking to His disciples, but there is a big difference between a born-again, Spirit-filled believer and a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple is a disciplined believer. Somebody who has laid everything aside and they are wholeheartedly and diligently seeking after the truth. Because Jesus is the Word, right? So they are following the Word with everything that's in them. And we're talking that radical believer right here. This is what we're referring to here. That's the people that hide God's Word in their heart. That's the person that receive it in their life and it changes them. It's a disciple of the Word. Those are the people who have ears to hear, and those are the people that receive the Word, and it brings life to them, and it brings health to them. That's what's available to you and I today. So praise God. We need to be encouraged and know that God has a way, a prescribed formula for us to be able to hear the Word, and it actually will be like taking medicine. It'll go down into our belly, and it will heal you today. Praise God. Amen. So that's what God's Word can do for us in this place. And so just like Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, He said, take heed how you hear. And in Mark 4:24, He says, take heed what you hear. Those two things are important. You need to pay attention to what you're listening to, and you need to pay attention to how you're listening to what you're listening to. Both of those things play a big part in us becoming a disciple and being in the presence of the miracle maker Himself, and how you and I can walk in healing, health, and wholeness. Praise God. Glory to God. I don't know about y'all, but I preach myself happy today. Amen. And this encourages me to know the more time I spend in the Word of God, it changes me. Praise God. But I realize that there are some of you out there that maybe you've learned this a little late in life, and this might be the first time you've ever heard this, and you're in need of healing in your body. Well, while I'm telling you today, you can get in the Word of God and let it just flush out. The law of displacing can just flush out any sickness and disease and pain in your body. I believe His Word and His sayings are health to all our flesh. So those sayings are those rhema words from God. What God would say to us in a specific situation. And I believe He's got some words for us today. So as you posture yourself, position yourself to receive His healing today. Because we're going to pray for you right now. And I believe the Holy Ghost is going to minister to people that are present on this broadcast today. You're going to hear the Word, and He sent His Word and healed you. Father, I thank You today that You are present in this church, in those homes, in those apartments of every person under the sound of my voice. I thank You the healer is in the house. Hallelujah. And I hear the Lord saying, just like He was with the four men that carried the paralytic, and they had to tear the roof off to get on the inside because Jesus was in the house, that there is a way for you to press in, to pursue, and to obtain your healing. But you got to get serious. Hallelujah. You got to become diligent, and you got to let nothing deter you. Like that Syrophoenician woman, you're going to press through the crowd. You're going to get through every situation that would hinder you so that you can receive your miracle in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord, for that, that You're in the house with us today, here to heal, here to deliver. Hallelujah. And I come against that back pain. There's somebody out there that is having back problems right now, and you're struggling. It's in your lower back. And the Lord would say to you today, you are healed. Walk in your inheritance. Walk in your healing and receive the life in your physical back now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. There are those that are being discouraged and depressed right now, that you're dealing with things. You've maybe had through this situation that we're going through in the world today, that there's been some setbacks, there's been some discouragement and some heartaches. The Lord wants you to know that it's Satan that has come to steal, kill, and destroy from you. That depression is not necessarily you. And we certainly know it's not from God. That depression is spiritually inspired, and it is a demonic attack on you. I want to encourage you. I dealt with that in my life. Early on in my Christian walk, I would go through these cycles where depression would just come on me, to where I felt like I couldn't even pray, where I felt like I couldn't get in the Word. And I didn't know this. I wasn't seasoned enough in the faith to know that it was an attack of the enemy and that I need to resist the devil and watch him flee from me. But thank God I had a minister pray over me and prophesy, not knowing what I was going through, and say that those things that you're going through are demonic and they're going to break from this day, from your life, and forevermore. And I haven't dealt with those things again since. I believe that same anointing is in this place today for me to minister to you. I come against that depression and that kingdom of darkness that is trying to encamp itself against you, and I say, leave in Jesus' name. We resist you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke, that removes the bonds, that brings life, that brings health into that soul in Jesus' name. And I declare that Jesus is your healer. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you provide in Jesus' mighty name. There's somebody who has problems in your eyes. Your eyes water a lot and very easily. I come against that in the name of Jesus, and I declare that those eyes are well in Jesus' name. They operate and function properly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I see two types of people right now. I see parents of children going through the fear that your child has autism or ADD or something to that effect, that you're seeing certain behavior traits in your children, and the fear is coming up in you that they have something wrong with them. I'm going to tell you today, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. That is a word for you today. Don't receive that and say, oh, they've got something wrong with them, and run them to a doctor to be able to have them diagnose something. They're going to be quick to diagnose them with something and give them some kind of medication just to band-aid a problem that's even different. Don't do that today. Receive your inheritance, that your children are the blessed of the Lord, that your seed is blessed, and that these are attacks from the outside by the enemy, and you walk in the blessing. Your children are blessed because they are your seed in Jesus' mighty name. But then, like I said, I see on the other side, I see individuals out there that are seeing certain symptoms in your parents, that you're seeing your parents become more forgetful. You're seeing your parents show maybe signs of dementia and so forth in their life. Don't take the bait on that. Go and lay your hands on them and speak Jesus over them, which is the name above every other name, including dementia. Speak over their life today and have God's best be their inheritance in Jesus' mighty name. I believe that's God's will for us today. Now, if I didn't name out your particular sickness, your disease, and the thing you're going through, don't be discouraged. Take this word for you. By His stripes, you were and are healed. Healing is yours. Yeah, there's somebody with shoulder pains right now. In the name of Jesus, begin to move that shoulder around right now. Begin to rotate it. You don't need surgery. You need Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus will bring a freedom in that shoulder and heal you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's healing power is present today. Just like when Jesus was in that house and those men brought Him, the Bible says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And in that case, it was the Pharisees. It was the Sadducees. It was the religious leaders that just came to criticize Him. So if the Lord is present to heal people that were against Him, how much more is He present in your house today to heal you who are for Him? Receive your inheritance today because it is for you. Glory be to God. God loves you today, saints. He has good plans for you. He wants you well. He wants you to be healed in Jesus' name. Now, if you've received a touch from the Lord today, I want to encourage you to go in the comment section right now and write, "The Lord healed me today. I felt the anointing and the presence of the Lord in my life, and I know I've been loosed from my infirmity." Amen. Let us know that. Praise God. And also, even if you didn't feel anything, feelings are fickle. You can receive it by faith. And the Bible says, as the lepers went, then they were healed. Praise God. You can be healed even after this. Praise God. It can come in all shapes, forms, and sizes. So make sure you put comments out there and let us know that you're watching this program today. And also, make sure you like it and share it so that other people can get the good news that you've received today. Walk in the healing of God and be healed today. Hallelujah. Well, I speak blessings to you and just expect to see you next time as we'll continue with God's medicine. God bless you, and we will see you next time. Amen.